Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Colossians 3:16 titled, Christians are Singers and Teachers. This is part 2 of 2. To reprove with mildness. I mean, I've approached people, and some of you would look at me like, man, he's really pouring it on. I mean, I've gone tippy-toeing and tried to be as nice and talk like a kindergarten teacher to people, tell them something, and they're like,
oh, I don't like that. You don't judge me. Only God can judge, and all that, you know, unbiblical nonsense.
Difficult? Yes. But we're told to do it, so try. Yeah. Try. You still try. And, you know, I could name the names and tell the stories, which I don't do, of the individuals in my family. Individuals that I once was friends with. Individuals that I have been neighbors with. Individuals I have worked with. Individuals I've gone to church with. Individuals that I have pastored. And simply, gently tried to tell them, this isn't right. And they just turn on you. Now, with that said, a very small percentage actually are teachable. There are a few. So what do? You keep doing it, you keep trying, and you thank God for the ones that will respond, the ones that will listen.
Amen.
That's all you do. And then it says to do this in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we're teachers. Now, I should say this before we move on. I'm not telling you ladies to try to be the next Joyce Meyer or Beth Moore or any of that. I'm telling you that you teach when you have the opportunity. If you have a baby, if you have a friend or a neighbor, and I'm pointing because I've seen it. I'm looking at people in this room and I've seen them teach. I've seen them use their influence to teach the Word of God to someone that they work with, someone that they are friends with, someone who is family. I've seen it. And praise God. And what I'm just saying is recognize that, because some people, they're doing it and they don't even realize it. Some people are good teachers. They're living it and they're expressing it when they have the opportunity. They don't recognize it. I think you should recognize it and even put forth more effort to do more of it. So that means you don't have to nag people. You don't have to go up to somebody and start chewing them out. You don't have to get them out in front of people and embarrass them. Use tact. But you can get alone with them and say, listen, I just have to talk to you about this. It's something that's bothering me. And they may turn on you, but then again, they may listen. And you could play a part in God helping that person to become what He wants them to be. But you got to have the courage to do it. And you teach and you sing. You find yourself singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that leaves out most of modern Christian music, by the way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You turn on the Christian CCM radio or go to their websites or whatever. Very few songs today even mention the Lord. Very few songs are gospel centered. And I've heard the stories. There's a guy named Watson, I think his name, he sang Watercolor Ponies. Was that called? Remember him? What's his first name?
Wayne
Watson. And we'll see. I believe that song falls under the spiritual songs label. But he wrote a song that he thought would be a big hit. And a record publisher refused to allow it on his CD because they control the content. And they allowed him, he would sing it in concert, but they wouldn't let him put it on his CDs. And actually, it was Bob Burney that told this story on his radio program years ago. And he said that he's at a Wayne Watson concert, and Wayne sang this song, and Bob says that he'd never heard it before. So he approached him and said, why isn't that on any of your CDs or anything? And Wayne told him that they wouldn't let him put it on there because it was about the blood. The blood of Jesus. And they don't want that kind of stuff on the radio. They don't want, they want stuff that is, and this is what's crazy about it. They'll say this, we want music that will reach a wider audience. That's the world. So what they're saying is they want worldly music.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get. Now, once in a while, there's an exception. I was listening to a song this morning that might fall under Christian contemporary, but it's In Christ Alone. You know, you read the lyrics of that, it's a wonderful song. There are exceptions to it. But think about these things. The Psalms, for example, they're in a book in the Bible. You may have heard of it. Called Psalms. You ever heard of that? 150 of them. Some are long, short, and some are long. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. And people have put some of them to music recently, and those are nice, but sadly, a lot of times, this contemporary stuff, when they do it, they use the new versions and ruin the song. But, well, before I move on to it, Jenny, your song was Oh That Men Would Praise the Lord. That's from what psalm, do you remember? Put you on the spot. But she took the words from a psalm, and Martha's song,
Except the Lord Build the House,
is based on a psalm. She took the words from that. Great, love when that happens. But Brother Roy Spaulding, he lives over near Cincinnati, his brother, he posted this, and it was an eye-catcher. Five reasons pastors should not allow the Psalms to be sung in church. Now, I know Brother Roy, so I'm like, oh, this has got to be something. You know. So I'll just give you my little five reasons pastors should not allow the Psalms to be sung in the church based on that article. Number one, you'll make people uncomfortable, and you don't want to do that. Psalm 107 is a psalm that Jenny used. If you sing the psalms, it makes people uncomfortable. Why? Well, there's a lot in there about killing the wicked and... yeah, about God killing the wicked, by the way, not you. But, you know, it talks about a side of God that people don't want to talk about, that He does, as we've been reading in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God. They don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, amen.
I had a lady I worked with, got on the elevator, and she brought it up, you know, about me being a pastor and everything. And I said, yeah, you ought to come out sometime, or go here to our website and go listen to the messages. Well, I think you're one of those you're kind of fundamental, aren't you? Yeah, we are. Well, you know, I don't want to start a discussion, get in an argument or anything, she says, but I just don't believe in that Old Testament God. I like the New Testament God, but I can't stand that Old Testament God. I said, well, you know, when you get home, read Matthew 23 and Revelation 19, tell me what you think. Why? Well, you know, the Old Testament God is the New Testament God. If you read those chapters, you'll get a little idea of that. But anyway, that's what, you know, the Old Testament God, Psalms. The reason why people get by with teaching that kind of stuff and make it look like, you know, the Old Testament God is some mean ogre and the New Testament God is this wonderful, you know, Santa Claus character. It's because they don't preach expository and they can pick and choose what text to preach and they make a God up in their own image. And so if you make a God up in your imagination and you go to the Psalms, it's going to destroy that image. Another reason, number two, why not to allow the Psalms to be sung in the church is you'll offend people. Yes, you'll offend people. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, those kind of passages. You offend people. Number three, you'll have to adjust your presentation of Christianity related to number one. It's not all positive. Why? Because God's not imbalanced. God is a balanced God of positive and negative. And for the wages of sin is death, negative. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, positive. You take away any part of that verse, you've destroyed it. Positive and negative. Number four, you'll have to deal with the really difficult aspects of life. In other words, David talks about some things in his Psalms that You know, it's like these people are wicked and yet they're succeeding and they're taking everything and enjoying life, and I don't understand it. And there's some good people that decent, well, what I thought were godly people, and they were killed, and all these issues that you have to deal with. And you know, again, we the modern church and churches just like to paint God up like He's just always positive and He doesn't allow anything bad. I like that picture somebody put up and said, God loves you and has a plan for your life. And it shows a Christian being beheaded over in Saudi Arabia or Yemen or wherever it was. Why? Because that's the reality of life. It's not all, you know, prosperity. And finally, you'll be playing a part in the downfall of modern worship music. That's why, you know, people, it is funny. We were in a church one time and they sang all that, you know, 7-Eleven stuff and everything. And Jenny went up to the worship leader and said, she sang. You sang a song, actually. And what? Yeah. It was a hymn. And what you remember what it was? Was it At Calvary? Or? Yeah, one of the old hymns. And they were like, wow, that was beautiful. They'd never heard it before. And like, we want to do that. Well, find a hymn book. It's in there.
Really?
And then they started incorporating the hymns in their music. So we had some influence there. Amen. We were helping for the downfall of modern worship music. Now, hymns are songs of worship and adoration to or about God. There's a difference. There is a difference. And great hymns of the faith, some examples we sang this morning when the roll is called. Be Thou My Vision. Last week we sang that. Victory in Jesus. O Come, Emmanuel is my favorite Christmas hymn. My Jesus, I love Thee. There's just, you know, a handful. And I've met Christians, just like we're talking about, who've never heard of these hymns, never sung them. Well, Olivia, you don't mind me mentioning it, when I'm sure if it's so, too bad. But Charlie started bringing Olivia here, and she's singing these songs. And like, wow, we don't sing these songs. This is great, you know. Oh, wow, a Bible. You teach the Bible in church. Wow. That's what we get from a lot of the visitors who come. Here's an admonishment. And I'm not picking on those of you who weren't here a little earlier, but it's true. If you're missing out on our prayer and praise time, you're robbing yourself of a blessing. It's not to condemn you, Chuck. I'm not condemning. But the good thing is, this is why, one of the reasons we do this, we put those hymns out there, free of charge. We have 283 out there right now. We have people, we've been turning them into MP3s and putting them on the website. They've been downloading them. And we still have to do some work on that. But anyway, why? Because I believe these hymns are so important for Christians in these last days. So important. And finally, spiritual songs. They're songs with biblical content, stories, or purpose. A few examples of those. Daniel prayed. Oh, Daniel prayed. We sing that. And then Belshazzar. Remember Belshazzar? That's the Johnny Cash made that famous, probably. Then Jesus is the Only Way to Heaven. That's a Jenny song. John 14 and Acts 4:12. That was the song that put the icing on the cake for the All Balls coming here. That's the song I wrote, Christina. You're not familiar with it. That's why. And then another one Jenny wrote. It's called First Day in Heaven. If you read those in our praise books, the lyrics, they're spiritual songs. They're not hymns. They're not psalms. So what are they? Spiritual songs. And singing worldly music is like eating sticks, dirt, and garbage. I've never stood up here. You heard me. I've never stood up here and tried to judge people's music. Why? Because not everything, you can't say everything's bad. But a lot of that stuff is garbage. It's like eating sticks, dirt, and garbage and then expecting to get something out of it. A lot of this music's about sex. It's about fornication and not, you know, it's not about godly relationships. You take a song about, I always joke about that. There's a song they'd play on radio every day. I believe it was Zeke Mullins who did this down in Southern Ireland. People would send in the information, their birthdays and anniversaries. And I always loved it when he'd say, so-and-so celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary. You're like, 70? What, did they get married when they were 5? I mean, and then they'd say, so the song would be, "Happy Anniversary." You know, all right, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's just because it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Well, I think if you're singing about a godly marriage, that's a spiritual song. Amen? I mean, who ordained marriage? But a lot of what's out there about love, it's about sex. It's not about love. It's about lust, breaking up, getting drunk, and kicking the dog, and all that kind of thing. Facing hardship all alone, the believer has two sources of strength: Scripture and song. If you and you say, "Well, I don't think God's going to leave me alone," listen. Talk to anybody who's been in the hospital.
Yep.
Talk to anybody who ends up in an assisted living or nursing home. Talk to most people. I mean, talk to somebody who has been a widow. Talk to somebody going through divorce. Talk to almost anybody, and you get a story of them having to be alone and go through something that's really difficult.
Yep.
And, you know, I've taught my kids. I've been real with my kids from the time they were very young. I told them, you know, I was a single parent. And at some point, their mother passed away. And I told them, I said, something can happen to me. You could be without parents. You could be alone without parents. And, you know, what are you going to do? Get ready now. You know, we don't want anything to happen to our young couples, but how old were you when you became a widow?
38.
38 years old. Things can happen. So what do? You get in this book, you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and you are filled with song. And sometimes the songs might be sad. Might be songs of mourning. You quote it all the time, that going to that, it's better to go to the house of mourning than mirth. Is that in Ecclesiastes? The sad thing about this generation is they're not prepared.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the generation of Christians, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this generation of Christians, they are not prepared to deal with anything. Go ahead.
It's Ecclesiastes 7:2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to the heart.
Amen. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the good life. The good life isn't God taking care of all your debts. Matter of fact, I've seen people have that happen. Their debts are gone. The next thing you do, they just go out and run up more debts. You got to have the wisdom to not get in debt. Not to be in debt over your years. Because I guarantee you. He was at Janice joking about people saying, "Yeah, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give 10% to the church." We don't promote playing the lottery. And that person's trying to play the lottery and win. Usually it's because they don't handle their money well and they're hoping for some get-quick cure to their lack of wisdom and their lack of handling the money. So they go out and play the lottery. Ephesians 5:19, we studied speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We studied that in Ephesians. We sing because we know we are saved and we know that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
I want you to get that in your head. What is causing you to sing? I want to tell you, I love to sing songs about being saved.
Amen.
And thanking the Lord for being saved.
Amen.
And I love to sing songs about going home.
Amen.
About being raptured. Yeah. There's another example. There was Left Behind movies, and we don't agree with a lot of it is in that, but I was glad it got people thinking, you know, and they had a soundtrack out, and one of the songs was, "I Can See Him Coming in the Sky." I see Him coming. in the sky. Now, that'd be at the end of the tribulation. But we're going to see Him come at the rapture. Not every eye will see Him until the second coming, but at the rapture, every Christian will see Him.
Amen.
The dead will rise first, and then we're right behind them. And we're going to see. I love singing about that. I love singing. That's why I love singing that song. We haven't sung it in a while. We're going to sing it again. I'll fly away, oh glory. And people would sing that, and they would, kids would do this and try to put motion to it. And I said, "That's not. You're not going to flap your arms when you get raptured. You're going to go more like maybe what we see Superman doing. Yeah. That's what we're going to do, with no cape. We're going to close." Let's close up this study. I mean it this time. I'm not going to pull a Columbo. This is the last one. One more thing. Psalm 98. Yeah, this is the one more thing right here. Psalm 98. Just not the whole thing. I just want to jump in there, verse 4. And we made reference to it when we first started the study. But I want you to notice this. Notice the psalm takes you somewhere. It starts with, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things." Did He do that when He saved you?
Amen.
His right hand, His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 4. Read that with me. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." Now, you think I'm joking, but I'm not. I mean, I don't care whether you can carry a tune in a bucket. Make some noise, amen? When we sing, sing. And the louder everybody is, the more they'll drown you out. So just join in, amen? Sing, look at verse 5, "Sing unto the Lord with the harp." I always say the modern harp is the guitar. Jenny's up here with her harp. And with the harp and the voice of a psalm. Doug always tries to tell that joke. Says, the fellow said, my wife's an angel. You know, he's, oh, what do you say that for? Because she's always harping. That was Doug's joke, not mine. verse 6, read that one. "With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King." When God said something twice, you know He means it. He likes noise. I don't think it's like rock and roll noise. Clang and, you know, and guitar turns it electric and goes, it sounds like metal going together. You know. That's what you get in some of the churches today. Verse 7, "Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." This is creation. "Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together." Now read verse 9 with me. "Before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity." Did you see that? I said I love to sing about being saved and about the coming of the Lord. And this psalm is all about us singing to the Lord and playing the instruments. And it begins with salvation in verse 1 and 2. And it ends with His return in verse 9. That's why I say that. It's not just me being, you know, picking something to sing about. There's plenty to sing about other than those two things. But Scripture would have us to dwell on those two things. The cross. Thinking upon what Christ did for you when He died for you on the cross.
Amen.
Not dwelling on your sins, but on your state, your condition of sin. How undeserving you are, you realize how wonderful He is.
Amen.
When you meditate on the cross, you're doing what John the Baptist said when he said, "I must decrease, He must increase." You know what's going to make you want to dwell richly with the Word of Christ and to teach and to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is the lesser you think of yourself and the greater you think of Him.
Amen.
It's not self-hating I'm talking about. It is selflessness.
Amen.
It is you're so consumed with His Word and with Jesus Himself, you think of yourself less. It'll help you in every way. And this isn't the motive, but it is a result. It'll help you. I've seen people with cancer going through cancer and chemo and all that, and they're so full of the joy of the Lord. And you say, how do you do it? Well, because as I'm going through this, I'm not thinking of myself. I'm thinking, if I'm not cured, I'm getting ready to meet Jesus. If I'm in pain, it ain't nothing compared to what He did for me on the cross. See how that works? I think of the pregnant ladies. Something that I thank God I'll never know or experience is giving birth to a baby. God bless you. That's just something there are differences, and that's one I'm glad is different about men. We don't give birth. We don't carry babies and give birth. But you know what's crazy? These women, they'll have a baby, and they'll go through and they'll tell you it's horrible. They'll say it's the closest thing to death you go through. And then the next day, they don't want to talk about anything but that little baby in their arms.
Yeah.
And they're so full of the joy of having that little baby. And a lot of them will turn around and do it again. Her mom, how many times did your mom do it?
Eight
times. Why? Because it's just like the new birth. And how you get so full of the Lord and His Word, and you're just full of the songs you want to sing and praising Him. It's just like a mother who's given birth to that baby, and all she can think about is that beautiful little baby. It's going to be a wonderful thing for Olivia, but that's the way your life as a Christian can be with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's sing about His promises on page 175. Olivia will go home and get on the social media and say, I didn't think I was going to be an illustration this morning for the sermon. But she made a good one. Make a joyful noise.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound in
Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.